This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Was it 2 weeks we're into camp now for the Chiefs?
It's been 11 weeks? Practices, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
They're done with their weekend practices because they were on that first Sunday last week, then this week, Saturday and Sunday. This is a game week, so it's technically a game
week. Yeah, they got game weeks the next 3 weekends, so no more weekend practices.
They were off today because the NFL rules where you can't practice like 4 days in a row and all that, so they're off. But, yeah, they have a couple days of camp this week. Of course, they don't have practice Friday because of the game Saturday, and then they'll be back to Joetown for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then I think it ends at Military Appreciation Day, and then it's always done with camp. So they're essentially this thing's going real fast.
We're getting down to crunch time here because they've already put out their first unofficial depth chart for the team. Gonna go through starters real quick here. So for wide receiver, they list Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy. I don't think there's very much surprises there other than Hollywood being listed below Xavier Worthy. Though, to be honest, we probably shouldn't be surprised because Xavier took some major strides in the latter part of last season, so we should expect that. Offensive line, left to right, Josh Simmons, Kingsley Suamataia, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Jawan Taylor. Tight end, you obviously have Travis Kelce. Quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Running back, Isaiah Pacheco. And fullback, Carson Steele.
Yeah, we'll see with camp at the end of the year.
We'll see, but I think that him being listed at fullback gives him a slightly better chance of making the roster.
Well, they've had him on the roster, you know, as fullback.
Right.
And keep
in
mind, Andy Reid has kept several in the past. He's usually always had a fullback.
He's, to be honest with you. One year, up like until 23.
Yeah,
that was the first year under Andy Reid they did not have
a fullback. Because if you have four tight ends you keep and you can trust one to be an H-back, you'd have that guy.
Right, you would use that guy as the H-back. Fullback.
But, yeah. We'll see what the math does. I mean, if Elijah Mitchell goes out and has one heck of a camp and you're like, we can't cut this guy.
Or he looks really good in the preseason.
Yeah, keep this in mind, too. Elijah Mitchell got more guaranteed money than Kareem Hunt and a higher contract than Kareem Hunt when he came in. So they like Elijah Mitchell. But I can't see anything happening to Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Elijah Mitchell, it's up to him to make this team at this point. Breshard Smith, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's no guarantee the seventh-round pick. No guarantee seventh-round picks make the teams, but not a lot of buzz from the running back positions. Everybody's buzzing about Isaiah Pacheco catching a long touchdown pass from Mahomes out of the backfield the other day, but I was like, well, that's 4.37 speed. and he's working on his hands, and his hands have gotten better and better, but dude is fast.
The only buzz we've really gotten from the running back room has been Breshard Smith as a receiver. Whenever he has gone out and he's lined up at running back and run routes – That's the only time we've really heard buzz. He'll run like some of those rail routes along the sidelines, and he'll catch those.
Former receiver at Miami. That's about it. I see why the Chiefs draft him, but let's be honest, though. I mean, there's no guarantee. It's not like he's lighting things up. You know what I'm saying? I haven't heard a ton of camp reports, you know, or even seen highlights or anything of Rashard, and you're saying, man, that guy. He should make the team. But again, camp math is going to come down to you going to keep four running backs because the wide receiver room, I fully expect the Chiefs to keep seven wide receivers the way things are going with injuries. And when I'm talking about injury, I'm talking about Hollywood Brown and the suspension.
And just with the talent that they have in receiving core in camp. Like, you'd think that they would keep seven just because of that part,
Well,
too.
Even a guy like Jason Brownlee, it's turning some heads. I mean, this guy's 6'2", over 200 pounds, played in the NFL. He's got a touchdown pass in the NFL, but came in here, was free and clear, was signed last January. He's turning heads. Keep in mind, this guy was a national champion at the JUCO level, East Mississippi Community College. Remember Last Chance U? He wasn't quite there when they were filming, and he was already gone. Or no, they had filmed before he got there. But, went to Southern Miss after that as well. But they really like him in that wide receiver room. And I could see him keeping that because, you know, Hollywood Brown's missed four practices so far. And, you know, doesn't say any alarm bells, but let's be honest about something. He's missed 24 games since 2021. He missed one that year, and then it was five, then it was like four. So, yeah, he missed 15 last year. That stands out of that 24. It's a big chunk of that 24. But before he got to the Chiefs, he'd missed nine the previous couple of seasons. So 24 games he's missed in the last four seasons. That's why you always have to take a long, hard look at Tyquan Thornton's of the world when you're in training camp.
On the defensive side, the unofficial depth chart looks like this. Starters, you've got edge rushers, you've got Mike Dana, and you've got George Karloftis. Little surprising that Omenihue isn't listed there. We'll see if maybe they use him more like a rotational kind of guy, or maybe this is just, again, early first depth chart. Maybe as the season goes along, they once we get to the regular season, maybe Omenihue's the guy.
They like Dana Omenihue's on that prove-it deal, but I can see, here's the thing, I can see a bunch of rotation, just like Omar Norman Lott. The rookie they drafted the second round. They're going to use him a lot. He had no starts last year at Tennessee. Didn't mean to because they used a six-man rotation. And the Chiefs are heavily rotating on the defensive line and, of course, in the safeties as well.
Defensive tackle, you got Mike Pinnell, which no shocker there. He's going to be your first down defensive tackle there. He is mainly there to stop the run. Not going to play a whole lot on the pass rushing down, so... I wouldn't trip about that right now. Chris Jones, obviously, is going to be the other defensive tackle. Linebacking core, you got Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, Leo Chanel. Again, no shocker with those three. And then finally, in the defensive backfield, you got Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson lined up on the outside as the top two corners. And then the backups lined up behind them right now, Noel Williams, Nazee Johnson. So... I think this will change. One, Christian Fulton has not been practicing, so Fulton coming back, he's coming back from an injury right now. Is it a knee? I think.
Well, he's always had something, man.
He's always had something.
Hamstrings.
He is currently injured right now, so I would expect that he would probably jump Noel Williams or Nazee Johnson in that rotation for corners. I would expect that if you have three corners on the field, which the Chiefs will have three corners on the field most of the time that they play on defense.
But yeah, it's a knee with him.
Christian Fulton is going to be the guy that steps in and plays on the outside opposite Jalen Watson.
With experience.
And then they move Trent McDuffie into the slot. As for safeties, little surprising here. One, Brian Cook, obviously you expect that one at safety. The other safety spot, Shamari Connor. And that means that Jaden Hicks is not listed as a starter.
Yeah.
But here's where I will caution you on this. One, Shamari Connor's been playing a ton of slot, and I think they really are trying to see if they can work him in the slot and have him used as a blitzer in those dime scenarios. But the other thing about it is if they decide to have him play deep and not in the slot, which him playing the slot, a little concerning to me, Jaden Hicks can be the guy that plays in the slot. And to be honest, it might be better for them if he does that because Jaden Hicks, I think, has a ton of potential, playing closer to the line than deep. He was very good as a deep safety last year. I think he had three interceptions last season.
Led the Chiefs in interceptions last year.
So I'm not concerned about him playing deep at all. But if you can have him play up close, you can use him a little bit more like you used Justin Reed the last 3 years.
I can
like
see situations used Tyron where Matthew they use a that. Ton of three safeties. Shamari.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason why I think it's probably going to be three safety over four corners.
It's basically a starter. I mean, it's basically the way the defenses are going to work. Chiefs are going to have probably there's going to be a lot of situations of all three in at the same time. So not really worried about it or concerned about that. And again, this first official unofficial depth chart, the PR staff typically puts this together, but who's getting reps?
Yeah.
Like, this is not like Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo sitting down here and going, okay, well, here's their starters. No, this is the PR staff guessing upon what it should be.
So one of the things that I did find interesting about this, and it kind of backed up what we've seen in camp, I think now with the release of this depth chart, the left tackle spot's done. Simmons is the guy. If you look at the depth chart, here are the left tackles listed. It is Josh Simmons as a starter. Right behind him is Wanye Morris. And then you have Essa Pohl, the Washington State kid that they brought in as an undrafted free agent. Jalen Moore.
I was expecting to see
the guy who was going to be who was originally thought to be the left tackle before the draft is now behind good old Jawan Taylor at right tackle.
I don't say read a ton into this, though, Chris, because honestly, if Simmons goes down, Jalen Moore.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's for sure. You know, I think that's for sure. I'm just saying if Simmons is good, it does not look like Jalen Moore is in competition with him at all right now. Not at all. Right now, it looks like what they've done is that Jalen Moore has been moved over to right tackle, and he is getting acclimated to that position for the potential of him taking that spot over, if not this year, next year. And then you see what happens.
I think you're right, because Juwan's too expensive. Slot Jalen Moore at your right tackle. But also, it's interesting that he's been doing some left guard.
Yeah, he has been doing some left guard. He has been doing some left guard behind Kingsley.
And I remind people, he played tight end. He was recruited as a tight end when he went to Western Michigan, so we can play all those offensive line positions. That's perfect for Andy Reid. I fully expect him to be the guy, honestly, at right tackle or left tackle, depending on if they need a starter in that position, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
And I'll say this about Josh Simmons. And he's not missed one day. He's from the West Coast area and went to San Diego State, first of all, before he went to Ohio State. But he didn't go there in the offseason. He stayed in Kansas City to rehab. And he hasn't missed one practice or one snap. And you think about that patellar knee injury. And you would think it would have been easy for them to say, hey, here's a day off here. Here's a day off here. But I think it's glowing for him and their trust in him that he's not been given that day. It's not like, you know, the middle of three, you know, hard practice in a row. Like, all right, Josh, you take the day off. We'll put Jalen Moore here, whatever. Because I would expect maybe Jalen Moore to work in, see a little bit more snaps there just to kind of acclimate him.
But he hasn't seen anything, I don't think.
But it bodes well for Simmons, the fact that he hasn't missed a practice at all. I mean, that just shows complete trust and shows you where that knee's at because he hasn't missed that practice. And I was talking to, I think it was Bob the other day and Dusty when I went on. I was like, at some point, we have to realize about Rick Burkholder and this Chiefs coaching staff and how important they are to the draft of Brett Veach. Because the Chiefs typically don't draft guys with any kind of medical concerns. They kind of back away. But with Trey Smith, they got him in the sixth round. Trey Smith was probably garnered to be a second rounder that year. And then the blood clot concerns and stuff like that. But the Chiefs trusted their training staff. And they got a sixth-round pick, turning him into the highest-paid guard in the NFL. Then there's Josh Simmons, who every other team in the NFL passed on. I think he goes before Kelvin Banks. I think he's better than Will Campbell. And I think he's better than Armon Minbu, right? That's going to be playing right guard and right tackle. So clearly, I think he's the first left tackle that would have been taken in the draft this year.
Which means he would have been a top five pick.
He would have been. And the Chiefs brought him in for a top 30 visit. They evaluated him medically. It was the medicals were a big thing with the Chiefs taking a chance on Simmons. It just was. It's practical. It was reasonable. But if this works out, I mean, I know we look at Mahomes and Reed and Veach as kind of the pillars of why this team, the dynastic run they're on. Hey, if Simmons works out, you put that training staff up there that gave Veach the, oh, go ahead and draft this guy with him and Trey Smith. That is two huge, huge moves in the NFL draft that other teams are probably kicking themselves on that they didn't draft Trey Smith and that they didn't draft Josh Simmons if it works out.
I'll say this. I think they probably would more for Simmons than Smith, just because there's a lot of teams that need a tackle. We saw that a lot. It wasn't a great tackle class.
But a chance guy falling five rounds where you could have grabbed him, even some of the sixth.
Right, but it's a guard. But like I can understand. I can understand not kicking yourself about a guard, but because you could find good guard play. Tackle play is a little bit different, especially left
tackle. But you could have had the highest priced guard in the NFL for 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think that there's very many teams that want to have the highest paid guard on their team.
Well, regardless, the training staff deserves some credit for Simmons or Seb. I've been more impressed that he's been getting a lot of work with Gelati. They've been going back and forth a lot with Gelati going after Simmons. He got the best of him the other day. Obviously, Gelati got tossed on the ground before, but yesterday he made an inside move and got in there on Josh Simmons. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm just really encouraged that he hadn't missed practice or a snap. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, the fact that he's out there, the fact that he has been participating the entire camp, the fact that he's been there doing all of his rehab. He was talking about sometimes he did rehab twice a day throughout the summer in the lead up to camp because
Mitch
he wanted
Schwartz
to make sure
helped
he
him
was
out at
good.
Many camps. Like the Chiefs yeah. brought in Mitch Schwartz to help him out.
So like the fact that he was really dedicated to that coming in when, you know, and granted, like you know, he was right now these guys get money when they play, but he's getting a lot more money now. He's got guaranteed money now. And he's playing for a team in the Chiefs that if he does his job well, the Chiefs should, in theory, be able to go and have the kind of success they've had the last few years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's walking into a real nice situation, and there's a lot of guys out there that would get into that situation, and they would be like, I'm good. I'm going to coast. We're good. We see it all the time.
Chiefs just staff that this deal worked out when you picked in the second round Kingsley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
To be your left tackle, and then he's your guard. And hopefully that works out. And then Simmons in the first round. You can't go back-to-back years with those high picks and not work. And that's why they've got to work out. And hopefully they do.
And it's like I said, it's one of those scenarios where the fact that he has really kind of dedicated himself to his craft all summer long, that's really impressive.
His attitude is incredible.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see what happens. At this point now, it's like it very much seems like he's won it. Very much seemed like the hype that we had going into the draft is backed up with what he's done in camp. So I'm ready for him to suit up here in a month and see what he can do in Brazil.
You know, the Chiefs were a little bit concerned about it, right? I mean, they were talking, don't get your expectations up too much and things like that. And
well, they're just being smart because of what happened last year. Yeah, because they knew what happened with the Suamatia situation.
But my biggest concern was on draft night, the way I looked at it is they need somebody to start right away. Like that, they need somebody.
Well, at that point, they already had someone at left tackle in Jalen Moore. So really, it was more so about let's get the guy for the future. I was fine with them doing
that. I get
that.
You would have had 5 years with the option,
right? And so, like, that's the reason why, like, I was fine with it, because even if he didn't play this year, you still got 4 more years left as long as he can actually play at the level.
This thing could happen. I always thought that his move, Brett Veach's move to get Butker off the practice squad of the Panthers, was, I think, his best move, to be honest with you. And, of course, the Honey Badger signing changed the culture, the Orlando Brown trade that brought the Nick Bolton pick 58 over. But, man, if Simmons works out, that goes right to the top of the list.
It's certainly one of his best moves for sure if it ends up working out. So you hit me up this weekend about concerns about the wide receiving core. And, you know, they're definitely valid. We know that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended to some extent. You know, I assume somewhere between 2 to 4 games. It could be more, depending on how hard the league wants to come down on him.
It could be right away, too.
Yeah. Like
first week.
Oh, I expect it to be right away. I hope it's right away. It better not be a delayed wait till the end of September to suspend him type deal. So, and then obviously we have the injury with Hollywood Brown. He's missed 4 practices. How concerned are you about this receiving core as we sit here in the first week of August?
Well, last year, you know, you watch camp and you get really excited about the receiving core with the speed of Hollywood Brown and, you know, the speed of Xavier Worthy on there and Rashee Rice, and then all of a sudden life happens. Hollywood Brown goes down in preseason game 1. Rashee Rice gets hurt in the Chargers game in week 4. And all of a sudden it's like step up rookie Xavier Worthy, which he did. Not at first, you know, it took a while, but throughout the season and through the postseason, he's the best the Chiefs had, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Xavier Worthy this year. I love watching that guy play. But, yeah, on paper, you look at the Chiefs receiver room. All right, everybody's back. I remember Andy Reid talked about the end of mini camp. It's going to be great having the receivers all back. That way they're acclimated. They can throw their different formations in. And he even admitted they kind of waited last season to throw everything in. Everybody was kind of familiar with the offense and everything. And, you know, he's talked about that, but you know, Hollywood Brown, as much as you want to say, it's not a given. As I said, he's missed 24 games in the last 4 years. It's not a given. He's missed 4 practices. Not saying Andy Reid said that, you know, at this point, they'll wait and see if it heals, but you just never know. And if Rashee Rice is suspended at the beginning and let's say Hollywood Brown wasn't ready to go, then all of a sudden you're down to Xavier Worthy, Juju, and Jalen Royals. And when you look at this on paper, it's like, man, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and all this. Yeah, but that might not be reality. I'm always in team camp of drafting 2 receivers. I've always been that camp. You know how I feel about not just throwing 1 dart, taking multiple. But at this point, it looks good, and I love the depth. I love Tyquan Thornton and what he can do with the Chiefs. I definitely think he makes this roster. After all, we're talking about a guy who was the 50th pick in the draft a couple of years ago. I love that. But, yeah, Hollywood Brown, like I can't wait to see him get back to practice. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
So here's the reason why I'm not concerned about it. One, I think we presume Rashee Rice's top end 4-game suspension. So you're talking about a month. And I know, like, the first four games of the season for the Chiefs is not a cakewalk. They got some difficult opponents that they're going to be playing.
Oh, very tough.
But the Chiefs, they take care of business in the month of September. They take care of business against good teams for the most part.
Oh, they there's no question about that.
Yeah, and so I'm not concerned about it from that aspect, is that you are, I mean, they've been dominant for a reason. I mean, last year they had worse issues,
but
I think, I'm
looking at
with
team
their receiving
that
core.
It was second to last in the NFL in air yards, 25 yards or
more. Right, because their offensive line was terrible.
Here's what Andy Reid said about Hollywood Brown. He said, quote, "Making progress, but it's in that ankle area. So we're just wanting to make sure that it's right," said Reid.
Yeah.
"That's how we want to come out of this thing. He's making progress, but we'll just see." Then he said, when a reporter asked about the injury, and he said, "If I say serious, I'm talking about surgery. And it doesn't look like he's going to have surgery, but we've got to let it heal up and go."
Let me ask
so
you
that's
a question.
Good news.
Let me
there.
Ask you a question.
That's
do you
good news
if,
there.
If they had a real game this weekend, do you think he would play?
No.
I think he would. I do not think it is that serious.
What's up?
I think they're being cautious.
I just don't. I'm just saying. I literally
everything
like, with injuries,
we heard about it last week was that it's not that serious, and he could practice if they needed to. And
that's
we
what,
know how the Chiefs are.
It's what I'm knocking on wood.
They're super cautious
because we know. Hey, I wouldn't play him in the preseason. If he
they're probably not gonna play. Him
I wouldn't.
In the preseason.
Not a snap.
No, they're probably gonna. They're probably gonna have the Secret Service
not
out there protecting
snap,
him
man.
The
not
entire month. I don't.
But
think
I like
he's
the makeup of the room, though. I really like the makeup of the room because I want to see Mahomes, you know, spread that ball around, and I love the connection, the chemistry he's building with Rashee Rice, because I think, I mean, Rashee Rice is somebody I'd consider
when Rashee comes back from that injury, he's going to be a monster.
I'd be in serious consideration of giving, and you don't have to do it yet, but I'm not a huge fan of second contracts for certain guys or, like, certain positions, but Rashee Rice I would be, only to have that continuity with Mahomes.
I want to see what he does this
especially
year.
Especially with Kelsey, if this is the last year. You know,
yeah.
Going forward with a guy like Rashee Rice.
I want to see year three from Rashee yeah. before I do that. But I if he does have the kind of year we thought he was going to have last
yeah.
year before he got hurt,
yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, one, the offensive line issues hopefully are fixed. So I think that in regard – that to me, that was the biggest issue. That was the reason why Mahomes' air yards were so low last year. It's the reason why his time to throw was so low was because of the offensive line, not the receiving core. If he would have had more time back there to hold on to the ball and scan the field and do what he likes to do when he's got that, I think that would have been better. Because if you remember back in 22, the receiving corps was garbage that year, and they were still the number one yeah. offense in the NFL because Mahomes had time.
Oh, and everybody said they slowed the Chiefs down in the offense and the two
ICs. No, because the offensive line was terrible.
Yeah, they were
That's
actually
why.
Still number one in points per
right.
drive.
So, and here's the other part, and this is kind of taken from 22 as well. In 22, their receiving corps was awful that year. Worse than it was the next year in 23. But you know what the difference was? One, you know, they're all, again, the offensive line was better. But two, they ran a lot more 22 personnel. And Travis Kelce got a lot more usage that year. The thing about Kelce is that Kelce is really great when Mahomes has time to be able to sit back. And if whatever they initially try to do doesn't work, Kelce can improvise and
yeah.
make it, and they'll make things work.
He's good at the unwritten
right.
route.
And that was tough to do last year because Mahomes had to get the ball out quick because otherwise he was going to be a victim of attempted murder.
I think Rice is starting to develop some of those tendencies too, where he just knows when your quarterback needs you to get open.
This is what I've been telling you
yeah.
since last year.
No, I know.
Is that he is the replacement for Kelce. That's the reason why
I think Jalen Royals has a lot of that in him too.
And that's the thing is like they've been trying that with Jalen Royals as well at practice.
He's been running a lot with the ones, but I
understand
why.
They've taken Rashee out and they put Jalen in and had him play that same role. And he's looked pretty good from
yeah.
what we've heard
no
coming
question.
Out of camp. So I think that's the reason why. It's also another reason why I'm not quite as concerned is because you do have some depth this time. Jalen Royals, you think could. Maybe he does make a Rashee Rice-like ascension from his 23 year, where slowly but surely he works his way up to being in that circle of trust.
And Andy Reid talks about, you know, his smarts and how he can throw things in there, and Jalen picks right up on
right.
it. I mean, dude is hyper-focused, man. This is what happens when you build a culture and a dynasty. When
and you find the right people with the right IQ for your
they
system.
They draft a certain type of guy, man, like Xavier Worthy, extremely cerebral guy, was a former academic all, but you understand why they draft the guys they draft.
Yep. Rashi very quickly took down that same style that Kelsey likes to run.
They draft a lot of high character dudes that are really cerebral when it comes to the playbook and understanding everybody's assignments, not just their own, but what everybody else is doing to enable you to do your routes and get open.
Yeah, and I think they'll have kind of a rotation going with their receiving core anyways. There'll be some times where they put Juju in. And and Juju is, I think a guy early in the season you can count on. And then ideally you kind of wean off of him a little bit as the season goes along. You feature your younger guys and you wait for him to be the guy that doesn't get covered late in the season or in the playoffs.
It's hard to believe that one game. He was in that draft with Mahomes.
Yeah.
That 17 draft, the second round. Juju. It's hard to believe that.
Well, when you consider that wide receiver years and quarterback years are different.
It's just interesting that, you know, that Juju came out the same year Mahomes did. Oh, by the way, speaking of depth charts, I don't know if you saw this earlier, but Travis Hunter, the first Jags depth chart came out, right?
Right.
You know, the old argument is he can be more defensive back receiver.
Yeah.
He's listed number one, first team for wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he's second team for corners, where it could be third team. It's or Travis Hunter. So
I don't think Travis Hunter's going to play a ton of DB. I think he'll play some.
I don't either. I really like his development of wide receiver.
And
man.
I think we both have said this since last year. Wide receiver number one for him, and secondary, occasional corner.
Hey, you might see him in some nickel packages.
I think a dime would be the only time I would use him. I wouldn't use him in nickel just because I just don't want him getting that kind of mileage on him. Because
they're nickel a lot.
I understand that, like, he's a freak athlete or whatnot, but you only got so many hits in your body. And you're accelerating that by playing on the other side of the ball,
man, too. You have Hunter and Brian Thomas.
Yeah. Like I said, I think focus. Let him be a receiver first and foremost, because him and Brian Thomas Jr., you might end up having the best tandem in the league. Like, if Liam Cohen can get anything out of Trevor Lawrence, and develop him into the kind of quarterback that a lot of people thought he would be coming out of Clemson, you've got yourself a really nice setup there in Jacksonville. So, yeah, that's the reason why I'm
I just thought that was interesting when that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to definitely take a look at where they were slotting Travis.
Yeah, and I think that was a really interesting situation. I mean, I thought Liam Cohen was a great addition to
the Jags.
I
figured that's
anyway.
The way it'd be, but I was just interested to see what they put out.
Like trip. I said, I think a lot
Not
of
– Not that it matters. Our PR staff – It's an
right. I think, though, I think that one is a hint. I think that's a hint. It lines up with what we heard about how they viewed him anyways.
As far as rookies coming out, I really want to see Travis Hunter.
Travis is going to be really interesting. I'm really interested in some of these running backs as well. Like, you know, how does Jenty do in Vegas? How does Hampton do in L.A.? Like, there's going to be a lot of options.
He's running today a little bit, but Najee was going to, you know, take some of those carries away from Hampton.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's good.
Looks like he's going to be heavy Hampton.
Based on that Hall of Fame game last Thursday, man, I don't know if that's going to happen.
There's going to be a lot of Hampton.
So we're going on to our continuance of our watch list for the upcoming season here. Starting off, we did quarterbacks, we did running backs, we did wide receivers. Obviously, we will add people to the list and take people off the list as the season goes along based on performance, because there's going to be guys at any of those positions that work their way up or they take themselves out of the running. So here's going to be our watch list for certain position groups going into the 2026 NFL draft. Starting at tight end, I don't know about you, I don't feel that strongly about the tight end class this year. I don't think it's terrible. I just don't think it has the kind of star power we've seen the last couple years. Because, like, the 24 draft was loaded at tight end. This year, couple guys in the first round that were definitely interesting guys and certainly are going to be, you know, a couple of those, you know, rookies we're going to be watching this year. But this year, I mean, the only guys that really kind of jump off to me is, like, interesting tight ends to watch. Max Clair, the tight end in Ohio State.
Transfer from Purdue in Ohio State.
Yeah, this is a guy.
Buzz there.
This is a guy that has gotten a lot of buzz as far as like physical talent
goes. Many consider him the best tight end to come out.
That's come out in this year? Or
this year's draft.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's who I would consider
to be
the
top best
guy.
Ever. I'm just talking, you know.
Yeah, this year. I would consider him to be the best tight end on the board right now, though we obviously know that can change. I mean, Warren came out of nowhere. He was a guy that we talked about, but he wasn't in that top three. It was really Colston Loveland, the kid from Notre Dame, and it was like one other. And then Tyler Warren came out of nowhere and became the top tight end until the draft happened, and then Colston Loveland went above him. But he's interesting. I'm really interested in Oscar Delp from Georgia. Delp is a guy that I had on the watch list last year at tight end, but he really wasn't very productive.
But he can this year, and they're going to rely a lot on him this year. And one thing about Delp is, with his size, he's extremely quick.
Yeah.
Like, he's a 4.5 guy. Like,
yeah, he's
6'5", 245 pounds.
He's a Brennan Stuhl type, going to line up wide, probably not going to play a whole lot at the line.
But his speed really, really stands out. And another guy, of course, I've liked him for a while, Eli Stowers.
Yeah.
We talked about him. Remember, he was at New Mexico State and transferred to Vanderbilt. His deal is he's just a little bit undersized. He's 6'4", 225 at this. But here's the thing about, you know, Eli Stowers. We know he's fast. 4.55 guy. But Eli Stowers is the type of guy, he catches everything. But the one thing about Eli, too, is you get with an NFL team, they'll throw that 15 pounds on you real quick.
Yeah,
Can he get the 245 pounds easily? Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't sweat the weight so much. The one question you would have is, will him adding weight affect the speed? Because I think the biggest reason why he is a 4.5 guy is because he's 225. The minute you start packing on 15 pounds to get him to 240, the question is, how much of that speed do you sacrifice? Does he drop to the high 4.6s? Is he almost a 4.7 guy? That'll affect his draft stock, I think. So I think
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The big question is going to be, if he does put on weight, how much does that kill the speed? I think that's going to be a big question between him and his trainer going into next year's draft. If he's if he does enter and is considered one of the top guys at the combine, that's going to be a big question: is what does he weigh at? What does he run? Because there's going to be a lot of talk about that.
And he's played a lot of college football.
Yeah. Then you have Shamar Easter, the tight end out of UNC. I'm going to be really, really interested because Bill Belichick, UNC head coach, loves tight ends, loves using them. Certainly is going to make it easier for the quarterback situation there. I definitely think that I'm going to be looking out for him and what he, and really what anybody at UNC does, just because you're talking about an NFL head coach, the greatest NFL head coach in history out there. How does he do at this level? Is he able to coach these guys and get some of these guys to the league? Because he knows what these teams are looking for. So tight end position is not super – it's not really top-heavy this year. But there might be like a guy or two that goes like day two, even early day three, that ends up being a really good contributor.
I like Kenyon Sadiq at Oregon. He's a guy that's another speed guy at the tight end position. He's developed Jack Andrews at Texas.
Yeah.
Here's the guy that transferred from Cal. So he's the new guy there for the University of Texas at the tight end position. So looking forward to him. And Brett Norfleet at Missouri. He's 6'7". 235 pounds. He's gotten a lot better at the inline blocking stuff. Had some injuries last year, a little bit here and there. But Norfleet can get out and he can move. I mean, he's a 4'6 guy, but again, he's 6'7". That is a serious red zone target that's really improved his blocking. So looking forward to seeing him at Mizzou.
It'll be interesting, though, with him being only 235 at that height. What happens if he, because he might have to add another 15 pounds at his height, because otherwise, he might get blown up.
6'7", 235, you're really wiry.
Yeah, you're really wiry. So you're probably – teams are probably going to ask him to get up to like 250 at least. And you get to 250 with you being a 4'6 guy, presumably right now, what happens when you add on extra weight? Might be a little bit slower and might end up hurting his draft stock if he's more of a blocking guy than a route guy. Moving on to offensive tackle. This one is really interesting because it's hard to know – how deep it is right now, because a lot of these guys are replacing starters. They're playing on teams that are really good, and those guys had players get drafted into the league. So Isaiah World, offensive tackle for Oregon. This is going to be the guy. This is going to be a guy I've seen near the top. You said what?
Mountain of a dude.
Yeah. He's absolutely 6'8", 312. He's massive. The thing that I'm going to be really interested in is the fact that he's now stepping in. He's got a high-powered offense that he's playing in. How is he able to handle that pressure? Because he is someone that is considered at the top of his position at, going into the draft. And we've kind of seen this the last couple years. Guys who are projected to be first-round picks, projected to be the top of their class, start to fall off as the season goes along because they get exposed a little bit. And there's a lot more pressure on them. One guy that really kind of jumps out is like Ariante Ursary, who was a guy that was really hyped a year ago. Everyone was like he could be the top tackle in this class. And I think he got taken in the second or third round,
yeah.
I think. But Ursary was a guy that even when you watched his tape, there was still a lot of question marks about what he was going to be able to do because there were some inconsistencies, inability to keep up with guys on the speed front in the pass rush. There was even some question marks about the strength aspect. So there definitely is going to be some question marks about all of these offensive tackles. They're going to move up and down, but Isaiah World is considered one of, if not the top guy right now at offensive tackle. Caden Proctor at Alabama.
That's my favorite. He has been like starting for him as a sophomore even last year, banged up a little bit started. But Caden Proctor, to me, would be my top left tackle.
That's who I kind of feel like. Either him or Spencer Fano at Utah. Those are kind of the two guys I've seen really consistently at that, you know, up near the top, and you kind of like their credentials. Proctor probably a little bit more than Fano, just because how long he's been starting at Bama, and you know, you play in that system and you play with that level of talent around you, and you get in early on the offensive line. That really, to me, says a lot about your abilities as a tackle. Because tackle is one of those positions. It's really hard to learn it. It is really hard to. It's one of those positions you don't get a lot of time to mess up. Like quarterback, you can transfer around. You can get a lot of time to mess up. We see guys all the time, you know, get plenty of opportunities at quarterback. Tackle, the minute your quarterback starts getting hit because of you, they sit you. So that's the thing about these guys, is you're able to come in and immediately as a young player get starting time. Now we're like, okay, this guy's, he's probably got something for the next level.
And are they pure left tackles or right tackle? Like Mwaga at Miami, right tackle. Yeah. And then you even have Blake Miller from Clemson.
Right.
Right tackle. You know what I'm saying? So you got to determine.
And that's, some of these guys might end up flipping around. Like some of these guys might be left tackles at this level. They get drafted, they move over to the right side, or vice versa. I mean, that was one of the things we heard about, like Armon Membu, is like some teams thought he was a guard. Some teams thought he had potential to be a left tackle.
Looks like right tackle now for Membu.
Yeah, that's where it looks like his right
tackle.
But
even guys like Caden Green in Missouri, I know we're going to talk about him on interior offensive line, but they talked about that in the past. Can we move him to left tackle or whatever?
Yeah.
Left guard's kind of where he's going to be pigeonholed for.
Yeah, I mean, that's what every one of these teams is going to be looking at, that, especially if you got the measurables too, because that's one of the things that's like so important about that tackle position is the arm length. And there's a lot of teams out there, if you are like 33 and a half plus, they're going to see if you can play tackle. They're going to play around. They're going to, you know, in spring, you're going to be out there doing stuff to try to develop your lateral quickness, develop your ability to mirror, things like that, anchoring, so that you can have the opportunity to play tackle. Just because of the fact that there's more money in it, and also it's harder to find those positions. So if you have a guy that can do it, then that's someone you're going to want to see. You know, can we pull that out of him? So you brought up Maui Goa from Miami. He's been on the list for a couple of years now.
Several years.
He's been on it for a couple of years. This will be the third season he's been on the list. Was it Jennings Dunker from Iowa is going to be interesting. Another tackle from Utah, Caleb Lomu, Monroe Freeling from Georgia, Ernest Green III from Georgia. You got Monroe Mills from Louisville. There's a lot of good tackles in this class as far as talent goes. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with these guys as far as the development goes.
Cage Casey out of Boise State, too, someone to watch because he really blocked for Genty Will.
Yeah. And with... The one thing I also think is going to be really important is the athleticism now, because teams are going to be playing a little bit shorter, closer to the line, probably a little bit more screen passes to the running backs than what we've seen in the past, just because two high safeties. And that means that you want more athletic guys on the offensive line, especially a tackle, because if you decide to pull, you decide to have them go out to block for a screen, you want to know that they're going to be able to do that and get down the field. So that athleticism is going to be really important, I think. Moving into the interior offensive line, you brought up Caden Green, who's a guard out of Mizzou. Jake Slaughter, center for Florida. He's coming in as one of the top interior linemen in this class. I expect him to be like an early day two guy, because center's value just isn't quite as high as, you know, some of the other positions. Obviously, tackle. Some of the guards you do see go round one, but usually it's a tackle round for the first round. But Jake Slaughter is a guy who's been really, really strong at Florida over the years. I thought he was going to enter this past draft, but he decided to stay. So I'm happy for that. Then you have Armaj Reed-Williams out of Texas A&M. You have Iapani Lalolu from Oregon. Jaden Roberts and Parker Brailsford from Alabama. So, I mean, I think we can definitely expect that Alabama offensive line to be really nice this year because you're kind of loading up on – you loaded up on offensive line talent.
And Connor Tolleson from Mizzou, and they're center for him.
Yeah.
Got hurt at the end of last year.
Right.
He'll be expected to help out there a lot too.
Yeah. Roderick Carney, the guard from Florida, is another guy to look out for. DJ Campbell, guard from Texas, he's going to be someone to pay attention to. Bryce Foster, KU center, going to be interesting to see what the versatility is with him. Because for a lot of these centers now, the question is, can you play guard two? And how could what's your ceiling? Is there a specific side you can play on? Versatility is kind of a big key for those interior offensive linemen. So the guys that have the ability to play multiple positions, that I think that's going to be
going to have
really
some watch list guys. When Missouri plays KU. On
yeah.
That line.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely line play. I'm really interested to see what we see from these linemen this year, because I think if you look at it now, the cost of tackles, guards, and centers has exploded. We just saw, I mean, we're seeing $25+ million contracts for offensive tackles. I think, what was it? One tackle last week got like 27 and a half a year. We obviously saw Trey Smith get 23.
Set the bar for guard. Six rounder.
Trey got 23 and a half million. Creed got, what, 21 million a year ago on his extension? So we know that the value of O-line is really high whenever you pay that second contract. And that means that you've got to have some rookie contract guys on your O-line that you can trust to be able to play for 4 or 5 years and help kind of ease the burden that you have from all those premium guys that you would be paying. Like, if you're the Chiefs, you would really like Kingsley Suamataia and Josh Simmons to work out, because you are paying the three other linemen on your offensive line premium contracts. So you got to make sure that the rookie contract guys are holding up their end of the bargain too, so that you're able to make sure you can balance those contracts. Offensive line play is so important right now just because of how much these teams pass and the fact that they're running a little bit more than they used to. So
yeah, it's gone. I mean, if you're 6'5", 335 pounds, you got to be able to move too, man. That's one thing about it.
Oh, yeah.
So much pulling, so many moving outside the pocket, set up screens. But, yeah, the NFL, especially the wide-open passing attack we see in the NFL, then all of a sudden you better go, sometimes not even from a three-point stance, go and block for the run.
Right, yeah. And it's becoming a lot more challenging now because of how athletic these guys are. How many stunts? I mean, think about how many stunts you see on a game-to-game basis where these defensive linemen are getting faster. You've got guys who are running 40 times faster than most wide receivers in the league. You've got these defensive tackles who are incredibly mobile, like someone like a Jalen Carter, where Jalen Carter, really great agility, really great first step, excellent job whenever he does any stunts and he gets a one-on-one against a guard. I mean, he's a mess to try to block because of that mobility. That was one of the reasons why, like, Aaron Donald was so great. It wasn't just because he was strong. It was also because he had great footwork, too, and he was able to kind of beat you if he got any sort of space.
Well, defensive linemen, we're starting to see, you know, the strength, the speed is such a huge element. And guess who's got to block him?
Yeah. even Chris Jones, who's like 6'5", well over 300 pounds, he can beat you with speed.
Yeah. Well, he's offensive lineman now. Instead of just being big, you better be an athlete too.
Yeah. You have to be very mobile. You have to have great lateral quickness. I mean, there's so much that goes into it now. And that's the reason why, yeah, like, offensive line play is so important. And you have to do a very good job as a team of scouting which guys are able to live up to that athletic billing. That's the reason why, like, you know, maybe not the 40 time matters quite as much, but whenever you see those guys do the agility drills during the combine, that's, I think, where you see the value of a player. Or when you watch the film and you see their ability to handle, like, speed rushes to the outside. My thing is, if I've got a guy who can get beat around the edge pretty quickly on a semi-regular basis, I kind of question whether or not he could play at the NFL level. Because yeah. When I watch that and I see speed rush guy gets beat to the outside, that is an immediate concern, because if you are getting beat by speed rush guys at the college level, and many of those guys just have one move and that's it, wait till you play the guy who is actually got a repertoire of moves. That's going to be a problem. So I'm really excited about the upcoming weekend, because we have so many of these preseason games starting up, which means we're going to see some of these guys that we talked about in the lead up to the draft getting some PT.
Is they're going to be the ones getting a lot of time.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of time out there. Like I said, I was surprised that Hampton played on Thursday. Yep. He did. He looked good. So I was like, I think you can take him out now.
Which
I think
is interesting, because you play in the Hall of Fame game, you got four preseason games instead of just three.
Well, hopefully
he doesn't. Five.
Hopefully he doesn't. He only gets like maybe one more, and that's
it. Be careful with that.
They got to be real careful, especially with Najee Harris being hurt. Chargers want to be real careful. They don't want to go out there and hurt their best back on their roster, because they wanted to play him a little bit too much in games that don't matter. So, but I'm really excited about this weekend. We have, what is it? Is it another week and a half of training camp before they're done? I think they get wrapped up
basically
next week.
Wednesday, I think Wednesday of next week is the final practice before they move back to Kansas City. They only stay up there for a couple days after the first preseason game,
right? And they wrap things up there, close camp, and then they're back here to kind of go through practices and whatnot.
Just 3 days this week, with Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Obviously, they're off Friday. Because of the preseason game against Arizona. So no practice Friday. They don't have any practice Sunday, of course. And then Monday, Tuesday, done on Wednesday.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about what this weekend is gonna bring to us from an entertainment standpoint. And I'm going to be spending the entire weekend watching all of these young guys that we talked about.
We'll have a rookie watch list coming out next week.
We will make sure. And also, Chiefs play Saturday. We're going to give you our thoughts on all the rookies, how these young guys played, and what to expect as we get just a little bit closer to the regular season. I think we're now, it'll be tomorrow, it'll be Tuesday, that it will be a month until the first regular season game. Because it's September 5th, right?
But we have two free Saturdays. That's it until we got college football on the 23rd for week zero.
So yep, week zero is going to be here. Action. So we'll continue with the watch list over the next couple weeks. We will have position groups on defense starting next week. And then we will also keep you up to date on all the latest goings-on from training camp. The biggest news for these young players coming out of college football. And on top of that, we'll make sure that we get you the best analysis for the Chiefs' first preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals this Saturday. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.